We will now have our second feature, which is a book review with a difference. It is written by Martin Newell, a village market and car boot sale addict. Here is Edward Stanley to read Martin's article.
By our boot sales shall you know us. No one has as yet said this about Essex. Nonetheless, I believe that it's true, especially when referring to this county, where country folk and Cockney incomers have been trading happily together for many generations now. During the 1970s and 1980s, I would sometimes take a train to Thorpe Le Soken on a Monday morning. There in the station yard every week was a country market, which I now believe was an ancestor of the modern car boot sale. It was here in the car park and around a small patch of greensward in front of the King Edward pub that the traders would set up their stalls and tables. This was where you could buy old garden tools, rolls of gaffer tape, paints, pictures, imperial gauge countersunk screws, crockery, vinyl records, cassettes, and almost anything, really. By mid-morning, huddled in outbuildings crowned with corrugated iron roofs, there were fruit and veg auctions in one section, then further along, an auction of household appliances in another. These were presided over by an auctioneer, who spoke in the clipped tones of a 1940s naval officer, as he barked out prices and peered at buyers over his half-moon spectacles. There was also a van which sold bacon sandwiches and cups of tea to those peckish punters who'd left home too early for breakfast. The King Edward pub, known to locals as the Ted, was open early for those who fancied a quick heart starter. Naturally, the business was brisk. Outside, meanwhile, milling around was the country market crowd, as described by Orwell, with their gentle manners and mild, knobbly faces. For there at Thorpe Le Soken market were all the bits and bobs you'd ever need, the missing jigsaw pieces of England's brown varnished past. Where else could you buy the best of Alma Cogan, a reconditioned Hoover Jr., a pitchfork, a bag of Japonica quinces, and a 70s bomber jacket? Then afterwards, you could hop straight onto a Colchester train and be home before midday with your spoils. Ironically, it was probably the growing popularity of car boot sales from the mid-1980s onwards which spelt the end for old country markets like Thorpe's Le Soken's. All the same, that peculiarly British convention of attending outdoor meetings in order to buy and sell unrequired, if still useful, possessions, remains in place. The tradition simply adapted itself for the ever-extending reign of King Car. Car boot sales exemplify the principles of what our grandmothers called waste not, want not. They can even tick the boxes for eco-evangelists. After all, what are boot sales but recycling conventions? Thus does the past continue to dovetail with the future. Which brings me neatly to this new book which I've been dipping in and out of for the past fortnight. Book Sale Harvest by Adrian May, folklorist, poet and academic, is a diary of one man's own boot sale obsession, chronicling 6 months from April to September 2021. At nearly 300 pages, Boot Sale Harvest is a good read and, oddly enough, has that pleasing characteristic whereby you can open it at almost any page and find something which will prompt you to read on. The book doesn't actually go anywhere, except, of course, to yet another boot sale. It is bricolage, a word which once used to refer to architecture, but, as its author reminds us, now means the artistic throwing together of disparate things. The book is a series of fascinating meanderings through the car-packed selling fields of northeast Essex. For lovers of the ukulele and all its variants, there is genuine treasure here. We also linger long on old books and sheet music. The comic songs of the early 20th century are remembered here not just with reverence, but with arcane knowledge. How do I know? Because I am too familiar with the songwriter Leslie Cerrone mentioned here, and could probably sit down at the piano and sing you at least two of his songs if asked. The ghosts of Cerrone and several other comic musical entertainers of the early 20th century still haunt the boot sales. Because they were known unto our families, the piano-playing aunt, the pub-singing granny, and they came home with the banjo-strumming great-uncle who'd survived a Japanese prisoner of war camp. They were the songs of common people. Their strains still reside in the corners of clipped old banjola, reedless clarinets, and in the faded sepia song sheets which come to boot sales via house clearances. Such artifacts only need a bit of dusting, a restring, maybe a new bridge and a back. Back will come the tunes the wireless forgot. Boot sales aren't all records and books, though. Do you really need an angle poise lamp? Think now. It was, after all, a design classic. But a megaphone might be more essential. Why? No idea, but I still have one in my attic. Are you looking for a 1974 Star Trek annual? Me neither, but I could still be in the market for a Harry Stoneham 5 album. I don't want to spoil this book for potential readers by describing everything that's in it. Besides, I have neither the cupboard space nor the volume inches here. I haven't spent anywhere near the hours at boot sales that Adrian May has notched up. Yet I now feel that perhaps I should do. Adrian May, an Essex musician and poet, who filled a number of positions before becoming an academic, has brought a friendly mixture of affection and erudition to bear on this rambling pilgrimage. I haven't finished the book yet. I don't really want it to end.
Thank you, Edward.